I'm not interested. Grab a song sheet if you don't got one, we'll get started. Today's gonna be short and sweet, hopefully. There's a, for all you guys, there's a men's breakfast over in San Marcos this morning that we're gonna go to, so if you guys wanna come with us, we'll be done here in about a half an hour. And then you can jump in. We've got a couple vans here, so you got plenty of seats. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to gather together here in the open air, Lord, and beautiful morning that you've given us. Lord, would you bring out, would you plainly tell us, Lord, the things that you want us to hear this morning from your word? Speak to our hearts. God, as we sing these songs this morning, Lord, would you prepare our hearts, our minds, so that we might receive the truth of your word, God, and we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, Rock of Ages, sing that one first. Sing out nice and loud if you know it. Oldie. Here we go, Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Definitely a reason to sing Alleluia, which means praise the Lord. So here we go. Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia,
Hallelujah.
Lord, this morning we are, Lord, I am, I'm knocking, asking, Lord, that you would speak from your word to our hearts, God, that our lives would be again, Lord, placed in your hands, that you might do in us and through us what you will. So we commit our time to you this morning, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, pick it up in verse. Hold on a second. John chapter 8, pick it up in verse 48. Hey, Russell, let me know when it starts. Someone let me know when it's like 8:10, all right? Just stick your hand up or something. Right. So we'll probably just get started and then we'll stop, so. John chapter 8, verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that you are a Samaritan and you have a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There's one seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, If a man keeps my saying, he shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who's dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself to be? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar just like you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Verse 48 again. Then answered the Jews, When? What's going on? The last few weeks we've been looking at this conversation Jesus is having with the religious Jews in the temple. Last week we looked at Jesus saying, Look, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, physically. You guys say you know God, but you don't, because if you did know God, you would know me. You're trying to kill me instead. Proving that you really don't know God, because if you did know Him, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. I'm the guy that's here and I'm telling you the truth, Jesus says. So why are you trying to kill me? Because I'm talking straight to you. I'm not talking smack. I'm not trying to talk around the issues. I'm telling you very plainly, this is who I am. I am the bread of life. I am the fountain of living waters. I am. And today, he cuts off all the adjectives, all the other names of God, and he tells them, at the very end, we just looked at it, in verse 58, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I'm telling you the truth. Before Abraham even existed on this planet, I am. And what was their reaction? They picked up stones to kill Jesus. Jesus reveals himself again today, as we're going to see in just a minute, as the I Am. If you don't understand that, just hold on a second, we'll explain it. So verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto Jesus, hey, don't we rightly say that you are a Samaritan, that you're not even a Jew? You're like a half-Jew? You're not even from here. You are totally... Let me tell you like this. The Jews looked at Samaritans worse than dogs. Like the common beggar dog that runs on the street. Samaritans were interbred with, I think it was the Assyrians, hundreds of years earlier, when the Assyrians came in and wiped out, one of the times they swept through Israel. Nations used to go in to destroy a nation systematically, to wipe it off the planet, literally. What they would do is come in, destroy everything, and then stay there. They'd leave some of their people there, and they'd intermarry with whoever was left, thereby breaking down the race. So you don't have a pure race anymore. They'd take a lot of them back to their home country and intermarry with them there and brainwash them to their way of thinking, their philosophy, their ideology of life, worshiping their gods, turning them away from, in the Jews' case, the worship of the true and living God. So that's what the Jews are accusing Jesus of. Hey, you're a Samaritan. Jews despise Samaritans. And if you were to ask the Jew, hey, if the Jews, the Samaritans are so bad, then why does God keep them alive? And the Jews answered that day, the religious Jew would very easily, like second nature, tell you, the reason God keeps them alive is because he has to have something to keep hell burning. That's why he allows the Samaritans to repopulate. Because when they die, he just throws them into hell, so hell keeps cooking. So the religious Jews look at Jesus and say, hey, don't we rightly say that you're a Samaritan, that you're not even a real Jew? And on top of that, that you're possessed by a demon? You're totally screwy. You're loopy in the head. What does Jesus say? Jesus answered, I have not a devil. No, I'm not possessed by a demon. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I'm not. They've tried this before. Well, he cast out demons by the prince of demons. He's actually possessed by Satan, is what the Jews said at another time. The reason why he's able to cast demons out is because he's possessed by the prince of demons. And Jesus turned right around and said, hey, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So Satan's not going to be casting out demons. Because then they're not together. They're not on the same team. So there goes your argument. If Satan's casting out demons, a house divided against itself isn't going to stand. You guys follow that? Okay? So again, here's Jesus. He says, look, I'm not possessed by a demon. I'm not. I have come for the express purpose of honoring my Father. That's the reason why Jesus came, to honor the Father. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but he didn't come to honor you. He didn't come to grace us with his presence. He came not because of his own will. He came, as he keeps saying over and over, to do the will of the Father. And what was the will of the Father? It was to glorify the Father. It was to be the exact representation to you and to me. This is what your life could be like. This is the way God created you. And so if you're living contrary to the way Jesus lived His life, if I live contrary to the way Jesus lived His life as revealed in God's Word, your house is divided against itself. This house. If you're not fulfilling the purpose for which God created you for, if you're doing your will and not God's, you are divided against yourself and you will not stand in the day of judgment. You'll get cut down like fresh mowed grass. I'll get cut down like fresh mowed grass if I don't live to do the will of the Father. If you live to do your own will, if you have your own dreams, your own desires, your own goals, your own plans, your own schemes, the day's going to come. The reaper's going to come. Not the grim reaper, the reaper. The harvest is going to get cut down. And all the weeds are going to get thrown out. All the grass is going to get thrown out. The wheat is going to get taken into the barn. The chaff, everything else is going to get thrown away and burned in unquenchable fire. That's reality. Jesus came to honor the Father. And He looks at the Jews and He says, look, you guys are dishonoring Me. So what's He really saying? I'm here to do the will of the Father. I came to honor the Father, and you dishonor Me. Well, at the very end, He's going to tell you exactly what He's saying. Verse 50. And I seek not My own glory. There is One that seeks and judges. It's like, I'm not here for My own glory. I'm not here to show off who I am. I'm here to reflect the glory of the Father. Whose glory are you reflecting this morning? Whose glory are you going to reflect today? Yours? Your tainted, tarnished, rusted out glory? Put yourself in the place of God today and say, hey, I know God that You gave me this life, You gave me this body, You gave me the ability to think, to reason. And instead of choosing to turn and allow You to shine in and shine out, I'm going to reject You and I'm going to shine, I'm going to show forth My glory. I'm going to prop up myself today all day long. Even though I know in my heart of hearts what I should be doing. Verse 51. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, if a man keeps My saying, he shall never see death. This is something that Jesus has been talking about, that we've been going back to week after week after week for the last few months. Jesus is saying, look, if you keep My saying, if you keep My word. You know what? Read the word all you want. All it's going to do is heap upon you condemnation when you stand before Him. Talk the talk. Read the word. All it's going to do is damn you even more. You're going to be held accountable more than the people that died when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Because Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have one of these. Sodom and Gomorrah did not have the Bible. They did not have the Word of God. And look what God did with them. You think you're going to get away? Jesus even condemned the cities that were around Him that heard what He said, saw what He did, the miracles, and they still didn't believe Him. They went on and said, hey, you know what? I hear what you're saying. I see you raising people from the dead and giving sight to the blind. I ain't buying it. Even though I know it's true. Even though I know you're right. Even though I know that you are God in the flesh. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so He said to them, woe to you, and He named off all those cities. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for you, because why? He was there. They saw Him. They heard His words. We have copies. We read the Word. We hear preachers. We see people on whatever talking about the truth, proclaiming God's Word. And what do? Take it or leave it, right? Who cares? God will forgive me, right? God's a God of love, right? God's a forgiving God, right? God's merciful, right? He knows all my hang-ups, right? Me and Him got our own little thing worked out, right? Is that what you're trusting in? You know what it's like? You live your life like that, you know what it is? When you're staked into the earth, and this is your place, and you're going to do your thing, this is what it's like. You're like the little trellis in my garden when my green beans are growing on. Solid, man. On the outside. Above ground, you look at it, it's solid. It supports these plants. I mean, people are picking fruit off you and vegetables and, you know, you're growing up. This is your life. You're growing up. You're filling out the stake frame. But guess what? That thing got diseased. I yanked it up by the roots and I went over to pull that trellis out. The legs snap. They're solid, man. Solid wood. They snap off without even me trying to pull on it. Because at the bottom, what they were staked into, what they were trusting in, what they were relying upon, was totally, completely eaten away and rotted. That's what our lives are like. When we trust in ourselves, when we trust in, this is who I am, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to promote myself. I'm going to do my thing. But Jesus says, if you keep my saying, not just hear it, not just read it, if you keep it, if you chew on it, if you drink it in, if you derive your livelihood from it, from what I'm saying, from my words, you will never even see death. You won't taste it. How can you taste it when you got the Word of God and you're chewing on it constantly? You're drinking it in constantly. And what does He say? You will never see death if you keep my word, Jesus said. Look down at verse 55. Or verse 54. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honors me, of whom you say He is your God. Now there's a lot of people here this morning that say, I believe in God. Me and God got our own little thing. That's what the Jews were saying to Jesus. Well, He's my God. But look at what He says. Verse 55. Yet you have not known Him. But I know Him, Jesus says. And if I should say, I don't know Him, I'll be a liar just like you are. That's exactly what it is. When you say, I believe in God. I hear God's Word. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sin. He forgives me. And you still go out and live life the way you did before you ever said with your mouth, I believe. You're just like the religious Jews, fooling yourself, thinking, I'm okay. God's going to forgive me. When the whole time, you don't know God. Jesus knows the Father. He and the Father are one. If you know the Father, your life will be like Jesus' life. Not perfect. None of us are perfect except God. But your life will be different. Your life will be radically different. As different as before the sun came up this morning. It was pitch black. Boom, the sun comes up. Now it's bright. Now you see colors. Now the birds are up in the tree and the pine cones, and you see the green trees and the white clouds and the blue sky. At night, everything's kind of just gray. The difference is like looking at a black and white picture. You see a black and white picture of all of us sitting here right now. And then you get a color one. Whoa, there's actual colors in there. Wow, that's cool. Look at that, grass is green. It's not gray. Or your shirt's red, or your shirt's white, or your shirt's black, or then you see all these colors. Jesus says, if I said that I don't know God, I'd be a liar just like you. Scripture tells us, let God be true, and every man a liar. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So Jesus is saying, look, if I told you that I don't know God, I'd be a liar. But he's not a liar. Jesus even says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Verse 56, we'll wrap up here. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews to Jesus, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Abraham lived hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus did. And here's Jesus saying, hey, Abraham lived to see my day, and he did see it. He saw me, and he rejoiced. And so the Jews are like, well, man, you're not even 50 years old. He was in his early 30s. Man, you're not even 50 years old, and you say that you've seen Abraham. But that's not what he said. He said, Abraham saw me. Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, or amen, amen. Or we say amen or amen. When a Jewish teacher in that day would say something, at the end, the people would respond, if it was truth, the people would respond to the teacher and say, amen. That's right, that's true. We bear witness with what you're saying as being true. Jesus did not wait for anybody to say that in response to what he was saying. He prepended that on what he said. And he didn't say it once, he said it twice. In that culture, they don't underline words and put stuff in bold and italics and exclamation points. If they wanted to drive a point home, they would repeat it twice. And here he is, before he even says it, he says, I'm telling you the truth, I'm telling you the truth. I'm validating the truth, and I don't need you to validate it, because it's true no matter what you say. And what do you say? Before Abraham was, I am. Where's that come from? Exodus, the second book of the Bible, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Moses, 80 years old, figuring that he was pretty much a has-been, God calls them out of a burning bush that wasn't being burnt. It was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And he says, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he says, yeah, but when I go back to the Jews, to the Hebrews, to the Israelites, what am I going to tell them? Who am I going to say sent me? What's your name? What's your name, God? How are they going to know that I came from you and not from some other God? God answered him and said, look, you tell him or them, I am that I am sent you. You tell him or them, I am. That's my name. That is the name of God as revealed to the Israelites. So what's Jesus saying? Before Abraham was, I am. You know what that, listen to this. I am. You know what that means? Doesn't mean I was 10 years ago when you said that you accept Jesus. It's not I will be tomorrow or 10 years from now in the future. I am right now. Wrapped up in that name, I am. What it actually means is, what he's saying is, look, I am the becoming one. What do you need right now? What do you need? I'm not talking jobs and money and houses and all that stuff. I'm talking about inside of here. What do you need? If you just stop for a minute and think about it, what do you need? If you listen to the cry of your heart, what is it crying for? Who is it crying for? It's crying for the one who created it. He is the becoming one. He will become to you exactly what you really need. Father, we just thank you for this time this morning, as short as it is. Lord, just lay the truth of your word in your hands. Lord, would you use it? Lord, as a shovel, as a spade, a pick, anything, Lord, whatever it is. Whatever it is that we need. Lord, would you do that work in our hearts, each one of our hearts that only you can do. God, you speak your truth to us today. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Listen. The same thing I'm going to tell you guys, I tell you every single week. If you're hearing what God's saying, if it registers in your ear, then that's true. Then you have a responsibility this morning to respond to the one who's speaking the truth to you. Not me. If God is speaking to you, you need to respond to God. That's all He wants. He wants you to enter into that relationship because that's why I come here every week. You know that. God desires each and every single one of you to respond to Him. That's all He wants anyway. You do business with God. Let go and do business with God. Quit trying to prop yourself up, promote your own glory, put yourself out there and, hey, look at me. Because really, when you think about it, in the scheme of things, we're nothing. Nothing. I was reading in Psalms this morning, David said, man, God, my life, man's life on earth, is vanity. It's empty. There's no weight to it. But when you respond to God and you allow God to get a hold of you, there's no telling what God wants to do in you and through you. So respond to God. Again, guys, we're all leaving right now. So if you guys want to go, just come on over here and tell me. We're going to take off right now. There's a men's breakfast over at in San Marcos.
Hey, you know where it is?
I have no idea.